And then it was, guess who's back? Back again.
Again.
The American
Smithy's
football.
back.
The American football show's back.
Tell a friend. Guess who's back? Alright, so I've been listening to a lot of I don't know whether you know, but like history have like branched off. So do you remember history just used to be like old school R&B and rap and that?
Yes.
Now they've got loads of like individual like channels. So like main history is like now it's now got dancing shit on it. I'm like, I don't want to listen to fucking Calvin Harris.
No.
I want to listen to like the old school shit. So now there's a history R&B, mate, right? And that song, it's like never off.
Do you know how many songs he uses that lyric on, though? It's like 12? It's like Houdini.
What is his latest? Yeah, Houdini started with it.
Yeah. And obviously, My Name Is and whatever. Right, welcome along to the Macam.
My name is...
the Macam Football Show. We've got a couple of games to catch up on. We've got from Hull through to the last game against QPR. Was it QPR? It was QPR.
Nah.
QPR
was the game before.
Pressing off, Edmund.
Was midweek, mate. I know the game's coming thick and fast, lad.
Yeah.
I was just saying, like, I was talking to the lads at work, and they were like, how are we in another situation where we've got three games in a week again? Because of this fucking international break nonsense, like, who cares about the Nations League, man? No way.
Is that what we're breaking for? Not friendlies, not anything like that? It's just purely...
It's the Nations League.
And we're in the B tier of it as well, because we didn't care about
who
the first
cares?
Time round.
No,
yeah.
No one cares about that crap.
Anyways, right. Yeah. We'll start off. Fun facts. So, Andrew, you said you've got a killer fun fact. I'm really keen to do that first. So.
Right, well, it's all downhill from here, like, because this no one's gonna have a better fact than this, right? Right. So, our old favourite haunt in Sunderland, specifically the bridges down near Greg's, Jetty White's Market, right?
Yeah, sponsor the podcast.
Sponsor the podcast, please, Jetty White's. Jetty White's Market celebrated its 100th year on the planet in 2 months'
right.
time.
Right, we need to do something for this. I don't know. Maybe go down now.
Jetty Market was founded in 1925.
I reckon you should go across the road to Card Factory.
Right, well, why is this not a celebration?
A happy 100th birthday card and just fucking pin it on the door.
Yeah.
I think we should do that. That's a great idea.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that is a great idea. Like, that's a good fact, isn't it, right? So obviously it hasn't always been where it was. Like, it bounced around a bit, but original Jetty White's Market in Sunderland, founded 1925, which is 100 years and a couple of months ago.
To be fair, I never really thought of it's how old it was. It's just been a staple of our lifelong.
This is it, man. For me, it's always been where it was. I was doing some reading, and it used to be up at the bus station. Like, Al, you might remember.
Oh, Park Lane.
The old bus station.
Yeah, I do remember. Yeah,
it used to be up there before it shifted down to the bridges. Like,
oh, could you imagine? Yeah, fair enough. Now it's a car park. That place. It's officially an open car park. Yeah. Alan.
And also,
oh, go on,
this is a bit mad. No. But like, it is quite past the end of the day, but I'm drinking Red Bull because I'm fucking shattered. You've got an excuse, mate. You got, it's fucking, what is it, 7 o'clock in the morning for you?
8 o'clock in the morning, yeah.
You,
wake up juice.
There you go, you can legit smash a monster. It's only a little one, though, so I'm probably be fine.
That is a horrible phrase. Right. Alan, what's your fun fact, mate?
Well, it's Remembrance Weekend.
Yeah.
Well, it's more, you know, pertinent to the weekend, so it's Remembrance Weekend this weekend, all over the country. So it's not a fun fact because war is never fun, but it is a fact. So a total of 10 players died during both World Wars. So there were 7 players who died over World War One and 3 over World War Two. So they're sort of, we're playing at Sunderland at the time, obviously during World War One.
Mm-hmm.
7 of them got conscripted. One notable one was Lee Roos. He was a goalkeeper and he was a bit of a flamboyant goalkeeper. He served with the Fusiliers and he was killed during the Battle of the Somme in 1916. Only 3 people from Sunderland who played for Sunderland, died over during World War II. Bobby Keane, James Connor, and James Irwin. I mean, they're not like, you know, household names, but obviously this weekend is Armistice this weekend, and I know the club's probably going to. I know they've definitely got something on over this weekend just to commemorate lost soldiers and
last post trade before the
they're the last post and they'll do the 2 minute silence. But there's a fact for you: 10 players died in 2 World Wars. Play for Sunderland.
Like you said, it is a fact. It's not necessarily
no. But it's important weekend.
It's good. It's really good to know, and I don't think many people would know that. So thank you. On that, did you know? This is not the fun fact I had in mind, by the way. But did you know that the RBL do a specific pin with Sunderland badge on it? So you got the Sunderland crest and the poppy next to each other.
Yeah, I've got one at the station I used to be at, and a poppy. But I do want a Sunderland one, and I haven't seen one yet.
I buy one every year. I buy one every year. Yeah. The £25. Yeah. Worth it.
The Legion lad.
My fun fact was Sunderland took the longest amount of time to not score in a game. The last game that Sunderland scored in was the Oxford 2-0. And we scored in every single game going up to that point. So Sunderland have the longest record of scoring in every single game of the championship, up to game. I think it was 13. What are we on now? I'm so bad with numbers. Game 11. What? We're on 14 now. So it was game 12. There you go. Game 12.
And since then we've scored fucking no.
So that was my fun fact. Sunderland have 12 games. That was it. Sunderland have 12 games in a row where they've scored at the start of the season. That is unmatched by any other team. There you go.
Got to win the league.
Going to win the league. No, I don't know.
Bit dry at the minute, though, without goals, aren't we? Dried up.
Well, I think it's just. It's a number of things, isn't it? And we're maybe jumping ahead, we might want to go back and talk about the whole game first. But I think that, like I sort of mentioned a little earlier on, I think the amount of games, like, all seem to be crammed tight into one. Then you can't play, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You get 3 games over the course of a week, you know, and you do that twice in quick succession. Like, you're going to have to rotate the squad a little bit. Otherwise, you'll end up with injuries. You'll end up with, like, you know. It's just impossible to maintain. Yeah. And like I say, I think he just has to do that. And we've obviously got a few suspensions, a few injuries as well. Like, so I think because of that, it's unsettled the team a little bit. But hey, you know, we haven't conceded. We're still, you know, we're on a little unbeaten
But I
run.
I thought he played, when we made changes yesterday, when we went against Preston, we went to revert back to how we normally look, sort of, without Joe. We looked a lot better.
Yeah.
I want to see that tomorrow. Because Coventry, you obviously had a man, the man's been fucking sacked, Robbins, which is
Mark Robbins.
A mental decision, but not that we care. But I think now's the time.
The Twitter were absolutely fucking raging about it. Like,
it's fucking mental, but yeah, come on.
A couple of seasons ago, he was in the playoffs. Luton beat them in the playoffs?
So Mark Robbins would have been one of those managers that I would have considered above Reggie Labrie prior to going in. So the fact that I've sacked him midway through the season.
He's got good championship pedigree. You know what I mean? And I think he was the longest serving manager in the championship.
He was the longest serving manager in all of the Football League. Bar none, he was there for 8 years. He took them from, they were in League Two, took them through. Promoted from League Two to League One up again.
Yeah.
Nearly got into the Prem. Got beat up by Luton in the playoffs.
Yeah.
This should have gone 2 ways off of us.
He had a good run in the Cup last year as well. Didn't he get in the semi final of the FA Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, you beat him on penalties.
Yeah. Like, just because he's had a bit of a shitty start of the season. You know, like Smithy just said, we're only fucking 12 games into the season, 13 games into the season, something. So.
Yeah.
He's had a bit of a shitty 10 games or so, and you've sacked him. That is absolute.
Speaking of which, I'm just going to very quickly show you something on the Discord, so bear with me. rather than completely ruining it. There you go. Watford 1, Oxford 0.
Oh, is it on? Is it?
It's on right now.
I didn't know that was on.
60 minutes into the stream. I don't want to get copyrighted for it, but I am watching that in the background as well. Right. So I think we've leapfrogged around a little bit. We've leapfrogged around a little bit, but I also just want to call it quickly. Dale's in the chat and Bong's in the chat, and they have Dale. Had a good couple. Dale's drinking a honey and whiskey, and Bong is not. And we're talking about a lot of the Royal British Legion stuff off the back of that as well. So Sunderland are also selling the remembrance strip, Bong points out. Where the only thing I really don't like is that the Sunderland crest is bang in the middle of the chest. I would have put another SAFC one, just the text. That would have been fine. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the poppies. But the kit looks lovely. Like the training kit that they brought out. Was it on at the Preston game? They came out in that poppy kit, which I thought was really quite nice. And I think they're bringing it out again this weekend. So
I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't, yeah.
It's a lovely looking kit. A training kit. So get that if you want to. And also support both Sunderland and the Royal British Legion. Then there's a leapfrog between the Coventry conversation and England and our place. So we'll try and tie all of the conversation points in there from
should
that.
Should we maybe roll back?
Roll back the clock, yeah.
Yeah, because you know I know it's like say 2 or 3 weeks ago now.
It's 2.5 weeks ago since the last one. Yes,
2.5 weeks, right? So it's been a little while. We've had squeezed 5 games in between there. Like I say, these games are coming thick and fast. Like,
So, 1-0. Josie Isidore.
Josie Altidore was in the stands, but Isidore scored the goal. It was a great goal, but what I'd say is, I think we played particularly well that game, and I was someone's up at the door. I don't know.
No worries. So I'll describe the goal. I'll describe the goal. So there's whole fans and whole players all whinging that the referee got in the way of the player. So to start that movement off, it's on the outside of the Sunderland box. The player has 2 touches after the referee kind of bumps into him. So he still has full control of the ball. We nick it off him, give it to Isidore. He then runs from, I think, like our
70 yards.
Yeah, he runs 70 yards across the pitch and dinks it over the keeper. Like, there's so much time between that keeper interaction for Hull to retain possession and defend properly. They didn't. So I think it's a if that was the other way around, yes, we would be complaining, but we would be unjustified in complaining in that the referee doesn't touch the ball, which he doesn't have to stop. Players can run into him all the time, and the player also maintained possession 2 touches afterwards. So it's not like he took the ball off him or took control off him. The player lost his own control. So that's I think the claims from Hull fans to say that is unjustified is wrong.
I think if the ref gets in the way on the edge of the box that we're attacking, let's say, and Isidore doesn't run fucking the length of the pitch, you know, beat a guy in the halfway line, dribble into their box, check back, beat him again, ding it over the keeper. You know, there's like a series of things that, you know, like Hull could have done, you know, Hull could have fouled him when he was running up. Like, you see it all the time, don't you? People cynical foul on the halfway line. They could have done that. They didn't, right? When the guy you trapped back, he could have tackled him. Mm-hmm. He didn't. He could have stood him up. He didn't. The keeper could have came out, closed down the angle, stopped the ball going in the net. They didn't. There's like a series, like a progression where Hull could have done something about it. And because they didn't, they just looked at the easy option, which was to blame the ref.
Yeah.
Like,
but for me, you know,
for me, it was a great goal. Like, go on, Al.
Yeah, it was a good goal. And what I'd say about the game was, I think that was the start of us not playing particularly well, because before that we were flying, and I just think that game, I'm not saying we looked laboured, but we just couldn't get into it. Yeah, Isidore's goal was great, and on the break, a bit controversial, but I'm not really too bothered about that. But the whole team performance, it was a bit flat, and I remember saying it was a bit flat.
Yeah.
And, you know, he got us out of jail with that goal. So that, for me, was the start of the, like, people starting to work teams out, you know, because at the start of the season, people just don't really know people are going to play. So I think it's now, and especially with the last two draws, I just think it's, you know, the league's very competitive, and people are moaning about, oh, we're not looking like we were, but that's going to happen because teams watch teams. You have scouts come and watch games, they watch videos, and they're going, right, this is how they set up and this is how they play.
Yeah. I'm gonna disagree with you a little here, Alan, though, because we've been playing like that game all season. There's some games where we're just clear cut, and we'll talk about it next.
We're only in November, though.
I know, but there is some games where we've won by the scruff of our necks. I think with Morwith Hull, they have a game plan of playing on the counter, and the fact that we caught them on the counter is kind of funny and ironic. But most of the games where we struggle, we're away from home. We let the opposition dictate how they like to play in front of their fans, and that's fine. That works sometimes, but I think there's just a couple of things. Like, I don't think that's the start of us playing badly, because
I'm just saying teams. I'm just saying teams watch fucking videos and do the fucking homework and how teams play, and that was the start of it. I'm not saying we're not playing bad. I'm just saying it's going to get more tighter throughout the season. The only one I'm going to say, the poor team who we played were Oxford. Oxford offered fucking nothing. Right, but every other team have shown glimpses of, you know, they could penetrate and they could score. Like QPR, they should have scored. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Are you talking about in this cluster of five games? Or
yeah, yeah. Preston, they should have scored in the first fucking 5 minutes. You know what I mean? So there's an element of teams working each other out, and there's an element of fucking, you know, our look, home advantage, and all that sort of business. I just think that the league is, on a whole, is tight. You know what I mean? And we're not going to have our way every fucking game. That's the way it's going to be.
Yeah, and that's where I expect it to be. The only game I think we are clear, like, in that five, and I'm just going to say these five games, because I think you need to call out, like, we absolutely slapped the shit out of Sheffield Wednesday at the start of the season. So, yeah, bear that in mind. But you've got a chasm of, like, the newly promoted teams struggling, and the relegated Premier League teams were here not long ago as well. So everybody in the Championship pretty much is a good Championship quality team. Everyone.
Yeah.
So that you are going to have a lot of close competitive games. What I think the difference is Reggie Debris, yeah, there's a bit of sussing out. We've got a form factor of a 4-2-3-1. That is his style, and it's working for us. But we are able to interchange a couple of those players, and maybe we'll talk about it in a bit with, like, injuries and suspensions. But with those
Lewis, three that's in the part of it as well, you know what I mean, I guess.
With the three in the middle of the park, and I know we clamoured a little bit about Dan Neil once he got his his red card, like he should have come off, like, yeah, and he stuck with him. Was it a red card? What did Dan Neil do to, like, we got? Oh, we hit him. No, oh, was the Watford, it was a Watford penalty. Yeah,
a giveaway penalty.
Yeah, I know there was that clam at the very next game where you should lose his position, kind of discussion, but he stuck with him and he stuck with his tactics.
That's Daniel's inconsistency, and he continues to show his inconsistency. You know what I mean?
It's just that hasn't changed
at all. That hasn't changed. But what I would say, well, Joe being out of the game, you know, being out of the team, that hasn't helped, because Brown's had to come in, Rigg was out for a game, so the midfield is a little bit unsettled. I mean, you could give them that.
Oh, yeah, sorry, this is a complete tangent, but you just said after the game, and then I realised, do you know the Ask Danny stuff? My question was on Ask Danny last week with the happy with a point.
Oh, yeah. Is that what you asked him?
Happy with a point.
Was Danny happy with a point?
He was happy with a point.
Well,
I mean,
good for
Danny. The thing is, tomorrow, I want us to beat Coventry because of the, you know, the situation they're in. I think we should be beating Coventry at home. You know what I mean? But you know, I mean, how long's Jobo for? It's 3 games, isn't it?
Yeah, two more. Right. Two more.
So it's how he puts in the middle of the park tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe Rig Brown and fucking Neil is probably how it's going to be. Who's the lad who's coming to get on?
Alex Hitch.
Yeah. So again, maybe give him a fucking, you know, nothing.
There's options. The thing is, we've got options, Alan. We're not like, oh, he's gonna, who do we put in there? We have a dilemma of how that dynamic's going to work. Right. Bong saying he agrees the league is so tight. There's going to be no easy game from now on. And Dale is saying we're starting to have players dropping out like Kobe. I think that means Job and Brig. He's not shown a lot of class so far with Dan Neil as well.
Okay, so I've got a few things to say, yeah. Right? I've been listening to you intently there, and you've both made some great points, right?
Cheers.
The first thing, right, is Smithy, to your point about how we play away from home.
Oh, Oxford should have scored there. Oh, sorry.
In that,
Jesus.
We allow them to play the game that they want to play. I don't think that's the case. If you look at the stats between the difference between last season under Mowbray and even a bit under He Who Shall Not Be Named, right, you'll see that Sunderland had majority of the time, apart from against the very, very top teams, 60-65% possession, but we did almost nothing with it, right? And if you look at this year, it's usually flipped. So usually we're sitting somewhere between, you know, it's somewhere between 50-40% possession, but we do a lot more with the ball. Mm-hmm. Like we're a lot, do you know what I mean? Like I'm not going to say absorb the pressure because that's kind of downplaying it a little bit. I think just think we're cleverer about it. I think the way Labrie sets us up, we don't need to be like doing triangles around the edge of their box. You know, we could. I just think it's a bit harsh when you say, you know, we let them play. I don't think that's the case at all. I think we play the way we want to play. We're just playing a bit more cutely than we did last season.
Okay.
I think we've got a significantly better manager.
That's a good point because our defensive record's great. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? So you're right in the fact that Dr. Labrie thinks about what he's doing, you know what I mean? And even though we're not playing well in the middle and going forward, you can see the plan. And that's what I mean, injuries, form, you can see the plan.
Is it right?
Whereas with him who can't be named, fucking plan, you know what I mean? So, yeah. And Labrie's obviously got Manager of the Month again. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's...
We've got Manager of the Month versus no manager next game, so we're clearly going to lose on this contract.
It's typical Sunderland. And my other point was, and again, we'll probably talk a little bit about this when we talk about the draws. But when Alan was saying teams scout out other teams, they watch the tape, all this sort of stuff. Of course they do, right? And if you watch the games that I'm not going to say struggled, but like you'll notice, and I said it on the live stream as well. All teams seem to do right now is fucking launch the ball into the box.
Looting
like,
for ball.
Every team we've come up against recently, from Luton, even before Luton, right? Try and get out wide, whipping it in the box, or they just pump it into the danger zone. Now, I don't know whether that's because they've identified a weakness there. I don't think there's a weakness there. I think Mepham and O9 have been reasonably solid at centre half.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I think they're just seeing they normally come up against, like, let's face it, most of the Championship have 6 foot plus defenders. They realised Lugo 9 is not above 6 foot, therefore try and get it over his head. That's a simple tactic, but also they saw how Luton, bear in mind, sorry, I'm just going to quickly call out a couple of like basic facts. Our last 5 games, 4 of them are away, and the only goal we've conceded was against Luton. Luton lobbed the ball over the top. That's how that, I think, is identified. That's the only way someone
Was it.
What?
Yeah, but look, Luton's goal was, it was probability. It's just like, if I lob this in 100 times.
Oh, they're doing the old Big Sam method.
Yeah.
The Blackburn Rovers method. Just fucking chuck it in there.
That's how they did it. It was.
Yeah.
But
it was, honestly, it was the worst type of football ever to watch. But we dealt with it. And Preston, I said when we watched them, Preston were doing it a little bit. So yeah, maybe you're right. They've identified some of it. But, you know, the clean sheets. Oh, the fence is fairly solid, like, so they need to try something else.
I'm 100% agreeing with you, both there. I'm just saying, Luton, in those five games, we've conceded one goal, and it was Luton, and that was the only successful method. So we will start to see teams going, what was the successful method of getting a goal past Sunderland? Over the top, worked, that one, for that one goal.
That one time in Bandcamp.
Yeah. That one time in Bandcamp, yeah. Did you shove something somewhere?
Excuse me.
Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think our biggest, I'm not going to say our weakness, because I think we're reasonably strong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think, and maybe it's a recency thing, I just don't think, I think our midfield has been pretty, I'm not going to say anonymous, because that's pretty harsh, but like, without, even with Job in there, I think it was pretty shabby. Like,
so
I reckon
he's right, because over the first, we're on game 14 now, right? The first 10 games, we were 1-2 pass move, 1-2 pass move. I've noticed in the last three games, especially since the Oxford win, we slowed down when we played Oxford. We did 1-2, couple, 3-4 passes, and that worked. That was effective. So we got more control with the ball, and so we've slowed it down a bit.
Yeah.
But it's again, like, what you're comfortable with. If you're picking up points, and it still works. You can slow yourself down.
The game midweek, right? I can't think of anything that any of those three in midfield did at all.
There was bits and bobs. Like,
Brown played the whole game, right? I don't remember him being there.
Oh, he kicked I remember his corner.
Yeah, he went out of play.
He fucking corner straight out for a goal kick. There you go.
Yeah, he'd been watching O'Shea's fucking playbacks about to take a corner. He need to take that video off him. So I just think that the midfield is...
The midfield is...
When we started against Preston,
yeah,
it looked different. So I can't remember how it looked, but it didn't look like the way it normally looked. But then he brought Robertson Mundell on. Brown and Rigg back into Neil, that sort of central sort of three, maybe one sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked a lot more comfortable. So I'm not really too sure. Maybe it's down to Job's suspension.
Watson, it was fucking Watson. That's who was playing.
And Rigg obviously not playing one game. So maybe it's that. I don't know.
Right, we have jumped around a little bit here, and I'm going to probably clean it up a little bit. So the Luton game was the last game where we had everybody fully fit. I mean, everybody from, we have Patterson, we have Hume, Mepham, O'Nine, and Sergen at the back. And then the midfield was Dan Neil, Job, Rigor Moore, and then on the left, Mundell. On the right, Roberts, and up front, Isidore. That was our last full game where we were like that consistently. The Oxford game.
Yeah, I didn't think we played that bad against Luton. Like, we had to put up a lot of pressure, but I didn't think we played particularly bad.
No, we didn't. So we took the lead. They levelled it very quickly, and we took the lead again straight after, because we realised how lucky they were to get the goal in. We were very solid up to that point. Then the Oxford game, we lose Patterson, and Moore's been in goal for three games and kept three clean sheets. That needs to be highlighted. Hasn't been tested that much. Dale's saying he's a canny goalkeeper, but
since Moore's been in the cameras,
it was Hollywood save.
That's it. So we picked up a 2-0 win against Oxford at the Stadium of Light. Comfortable. To be fair, I thought that game was quite slower as well. And then you've got the 0-0.
Mate, we dominated that game, mate.
Yeah, we absolutely did, but we didn't need to step out of second gear. The QPR game away from home.
Crouchy said before that game he was convinced we were going to get beat. I was like, Crouchy's fucking...
What, Hawksford?
Yeah. He was like, I'm convinced. Like,
No.
I mean, Oxford are high flying at the minute, you know. They are pretty
high. They offered fucking nothing, mate, the whole game. The sprinklers offered more in the first 5 minutes.
I say high up the table, around 17 points, but yeah. Oh, the sprinklers, was that the sprinklers game?
No, it wasn't, I. Came on for like
30 seconds
in the first half.
So what was
that? But no, yeah, obviously the QPR game and the Preston game. Just feel like there was things missing. So you know, midfield, I'm not going to say the high press wasn't there, but I just think it. Players are injured and move around, and it's not the normal starting. You know what I mean? Lot it's settle. Let's see what he starts with tomorrow.
So with the midfield side of it, right? Like you said, something felt like it was missing for both of those games. The QPR game, we were missing Rigg for his chest infection, heart problems, whatever that rumor was. He's fit and back, so whatever the rumor mill was, just Rigg was unavailable for that one, and there was a lot of like
Twitter uncertainty. Literally fucking dug his grave, like.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter was convinced he was finished.
So, yeah, the QPR thing, like you said, that's where we start, like, or where is what's happening with the midfield and park, and maybe that's where our heart of our good quality attacking football comes from. And then again, with the Preston one, obviously, Job gets sent off in that QPR game, so Job's missing, and then it's more like, how do we set ourselves up? But we still got, of our four choice of the central midfielders of Dan Neil. I'm going to go Dan Neil, Joe Bellingham, Alan Brown and Chris Rigg. Those three that play in the four that play in the three positions. You've still got three of them available for all of those games. So it's just a bit weird. I don't think there's actually been that much of a difference. It's just I think since the Oxford game, we've slowed it down in the middle. That's the difference.
Yeah, there's no intensity there, is it? It's like the last few, I haven't seen it, you know what I mean? Oxford, we pressed them, and you know we dominated, and we. But I just think, I don't know. It's maybe it's that point in the season where we do get injuries and suspensions, and you know.
Yeah, I think he's
got to work it out.
We made it Christmas, like I think it's game is thick and fast. Like, I mean, hopefully these geezers who we signed, you know, the back end of the transfer window, who we've fucking never seen any of them apart from Wilson.
Yeah,
like they start to come fit. Start to bed into the team a little bit, you know. We get a few more looks in.
Watford should have scored there. Cool.
I've got one more thing to say though before we move on from the games, and it is on the Luton game, it's kind of like it's a positive spin, I think. Like that Luton game is exactly the sort of game that we would have lost last season.
Yeah,
and what I mean by that is. We scored, and then they scored, and then they looked pretty good. I think if we conceded that last season, heads would have went down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
But that didn't happen this time. It was Mundell fucking dragged the ball halfway up the fucking field, cut in and scored. Scored a great goal immediately to get ourselves back on top, back and you know moving in the right direction. I feel like
We've got more mental robustness.
I think a bit more resilient.
Yeah,
exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, like I feel like and you know I can't remember. I mean, how many games are we unbeaten now since the Watford games?
Seven.
I don't know. Seven games unbeaten, right? And we've got how many clean sheets we got in that?
Well, let me count them.
Five.
One, two, three.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like. We are more mentally robust. We're a bit more resilient. Like all those words that you just used, Al, and that's a positive thing for the season.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. We're going to be tested, and especially like I say, like there's a period from now till Christmas until January time, where the games are just fucking relentless. Like,
yep.
So if we can get through that and still be, you know, in the top two, kicking around the top end of the table, hopefully with a nice little buffer. I think from what I've seen the first 15 games, I think we could do it.
I'm not saying we're going to get them automatic because, you know, that would be...
No, I'm not saying that.
You know what I mean? We want to be in the top six, like, Christmas, you know what I mean? But I think we will lose a game at some point. You know what I mean? We're playing Sheffield United, aren't we?
Yeah, Sheffield United in two games.
We've got a couple of tough games in a row, haven't we? Yeah.
That's a fucking. They're a tough team to play, mate. You know, they're flying at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
But home, you know, I want to see us fucking beat Coventry. Two reasons for that is obviously they're in the mire at the minute. They've got rid of the fucking manager. And secondly, it's our boring team that needs to be fucking put to bed. You know, I don't know what it is with Coventry. Well, I know the history of Coventry and what, you know, the Jimmy Hill situation. But yeah. I've never seen us play well against Coventry. I can't remember the last time we played well against Coventry. Even if we won.
I think 1997, I think
if we start fucking Wilson Isidore up front rather than throw him out on the wing where he was, and this is this sounds pretty harsh, but like, he's not a fucking winger, like he was, ineffective. Right. Out there, like, I think he switched, he took Connolly off, right? He put Wilson up top for fucking 5 minutes before he was dragged off, and he did much, much more in that 5 minutes than he did in the whole game.
Yeah. I want to see more Connolly, like, to be as well.
Just better through the middle. I'd like to see Connolly Wilson start. I'll tell you what else was good. Meander came on, you know, back from his injury and that. So that was
yeah
a positive.
But Connolly, I just think, jumped the queue a little bit. Like, he's come in and they've took a gamble on him, and he's like, Rusin's been pushed back now because he's here. He needs to show a little bit more because he's been all right, you know what I mean? He's been cute now in games and he's done well, but I want to see more of him. I mean, he could have scored against Preston, to be fair.
Yeah.
He probably had the best chance of the first half.
Yeah, he did have the best chance. But I want to see more of him, you know, in games. Like, he's come with this reputation of being a bit of a maverick and, you know what I mean? A good player, but shows it on the pitch.
Says he's a changed man now, doesn't he? Like, he's
Show me then. You know what I mean? Isidore's tipped in and scored 4 goals. You know what I mean? He's showing us what he's about. Is Connolly more of a fucking 10 role, or is he, you know what I mean? What is he? Is he a striker?
Where's his
best position?
I think he's a championship player. I think so. This is a different, like, a bit of a tangent, but it's more. We've bought the quality that we're at with Connolly and Rushin, like, that's championship quality strikers. They put the ball in the back of the net, probably one in every 5 games if they get a full 90. Whereas Isidore is come from, where did he come from? Zenit? Was it Zenit?
Zenit.
He's come from, he's high flying at Zenit as well. So he's come from the top of league there to top of league here. And he can just put the ball in the back of the net from any angle.
He was already doing it before he came here. Like, that was the difference between, like, we signed fucking Semedo or whatever, Hamir last season.
I mean,
we signed Royce, and these are players who, like, weren't like, firing, do you know what I mean? Whereas Wilson was, and he had been doing that.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I was so excited about that signing. Like, he was the one that got us, you know, a bit giddy at the thought, like, we could have a sensible, fucking decent straight here. I'll tell you just one point on Royce and Connolly.
Yeah.
I think the difference between the two is Connolly has been around the league for time.
Yeah.
And if you remember this time last season, we were like, where's our players who've been there and done that before? Yeah. You know, and now we've got
Connolly
at the top, Brown in the middle, and Mepham at the back. Right. So there you go. And how much better do we look just with a bit of fucking experience kicking around there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he's in those three.
But is Connolly more of a Pritchard type player? Do you know what I mean?
I was just about to mention that. Yeah, I think he is.
No, I mean, where's your best? Where do you put him?
I don't think he's a Pritchard, but I don't think he's an out and out striker. Like,
that's what I mean. I
feel like he's like the I can't think of a good example, but like, he's like the number two striker, and he like plays off the main man. I mean, it's not Quinn Phillips, but you know what I mean. Like, he doesn't have the presence, does he, to be the fucking geezer who's holding the ball up? But I don't think he's like tricky enough to be like a Cam. Okay. I don't know. Like, I just think he's a good option. You know, he's a good option. He looks busy.
Yeah.
You're right. You could have scored in the first half midweek. So I think he's a good signing.
He'll kick on. Do you know what I mean?
So there's a comment here from Dale that I want to call out as well.
If we get 10 goals out of him this season, I'll be happy.
Dale says, that's what Sunderland do. We put players in the wrong position. And I think that was more building off putting Isidore out on the wing. But we do, we have options on the left wing and the right wing available on the bench, and we put somebody who's like a guaranteed starter in the wrong place. Why don't we, if you want to change it up, change up the player into the correct position? Because you've got to remember, like, you've got, I know you've mentioned him a couple of times today, Oshish, he hasn't gotten any game time. Abdullah Bow, he's gone into the rosters. You're putting in Tommy Watson in his first start without any real real narrative.
I thought Watson did all right, though.
He did okay, but he didn't shine the world on fire. If you compare him watching the Roberts. If you compare him watching the Roberts.
He didn't do bad. No, but he's breading him in, you know what I mean? He's giving him the experience, like, you know, he's bringing him on, I guess.
So he's not.
I don't know who else would you have had on?
I'm saying that there's options there. There's like Mienda.
It was a three game week, and he rested Muddle and Roberts, and then he looked at the game and thought, we need to get someone out and brought them both on. So
it's purely on? About rest. Is that what you're thinking?
Well, yeah, of course it was. Yeah. It's a three game week.
Well, what about again in the middle of the park? Why not start Aleksić? And if he's not good enough at half time, swap him off.
Well, we might see him tomorrow. I didn't know. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you when we would have seen Aleksić. If we were fucking 2-0 up in the second half, 100% he'd have took Connolly off and put Aleksić on. But he's not going to throw him into a game like that where it's like, you know, like it's a bit on a knife's edge. You want to get him in where like the pressure's off a bit. I'm with you. Like, I want to see him. I want to see what he can do. You know, he came. You know, highly recommended. I'm excited to see what he can do, but I just don't think the game of midweek was the game to put him in. Maybe we'll see him tomorrow. Maybe we won't. I don't know. I think I trust the doc to make the right call.
This is how it's going to look tomorrow. See him back four.
Yeah.
Rig, fucking Dan Neil in the middle. Robertson, fucking one was starting. Is it all be through the middle? That's how we'll start tomorrow.
That's our best team.
That's how we'll start tomorrow, because we home games, and especially now where currently are, we need to fucking go for the win. Like,
and the squad,
anyone who turns up, we need to go for the win at home.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Go on.
Is it the time for Labrie to experiment a little bit more with his gameplay style? Because, like, obviously, we've seen Coventry, a team that went, they're a bit of a bogey team, a slip-up team, and we've got an international break coming up off it. So we've got that cushion. Welcome, Moula.
Is it time to experiment a bit?
Yeah.
Nah, because how can you say that?
I know, we're talking
if
league.
If we were really struggling, if we were really struggling, you know, we didn't have injuries, and we didn't have three game weeks, and we didn't have to rotate the squad, and then we were struggling, I'd be like, yeah, let's try something new. But it's more or less working.
Yep,
we're top of the league. Yeah. Like
the next time you're going to see any, the next time you're going to see any experimentation will be the FA Cup.
No, yeah, fair. Cup games or at the academy on the under 21s.
No, yeah, you're not doing anything at the minute.
Yeah.
But I think we've got a bit like the depth we've got. I'm not saying the depth is fucking great, like, but I think he did try something though, like with the way he set up against Preston. You know what I mean? He didn't have to do that, but he did it. Like, Wilson was out wide and didn't work, and then he fucking reverted back to tight. But what the difference is Andrew said, the back four is solid, and we're scoring different goals, so we're not looking for Jack Clark all the time. We're looking at, like, there was a chance where they threw a ball through the middle to fucking Isidore, and he just blasted it wide, you know, before Daniel hit the post against Preston.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think the depth's sort of there, but the style of play, a lot more options because, you know what I mean, we're trying different things on the pitch.
Yeah.
I think it's been a bit flat race.
You're definitely right. You know, if you scored inside the box, outside the box, from the left, from the right, through the middle, like, we were a bit one-dimensional last season, like, and that's not the case now.
Yeah, I also want to ask, we're not reliant on set pieces anymore for any of our goals. I know, like, corners last season were dreadful, but, like, we were getting a couple of penalties.
Have we scored from a corner yet?
Yes.
I can't remember.
Cirkin. Second or third game.
That was a set piece or that, wasn't it?
I thought
it was a set piece, Cirkin's header.
Nah, it did come from out wide, but it won a corner. It was
a free kick. Because I think Cirkin's the only one who scored from them as well. Like, yeah, fuck it. Right, so I'm just going to slow it down a second because the Watford-Oxford game, Oxford have a corner last minute, keepers up, and Watford clear it.
Oxford could have got a draw with this. I've just been watching. They've had a couple of good chances.
Yeah, so Watford looking like they're picking up 3 points today. I'm going to close that down now.
Where will I put them in the table?
I think they climb a little bit. Let me just quickly show the league table. They climb to fourth on 25 points.
Who's top of the league, like?
I think Sunderland are top of the league. Not sure. We might be. He's stirring the pot a little bit. What is it? There's another question I've got here, and it's off the back of the Patterson situation. Moore has come in, 3 clean sheets in 3 games. Do you think he is justifiably potentially stealing Patterson's number one spot, or has he not been tested enough for you yet?
Okay, so first things first, 3 clean sheets in 3 starts is commendable.
Yeah.
I don't think he's had a lot of shots to save. I say, there was that one for the cameras midweek, and I think it'd be harsh if Pato came back in tomorrow. I'd be saying that's a bit harsh on Moore, but I still think it's the right call. There was a ball floating in the box, sort of in the air in the game the other day, and it was their prime for the take, and he should have just plucked it out of the air, but he chose to punch it instead.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going through his brain, and it landed straight, just at the edge of the box, and they had a shot immediately. I think it went wide or it took a deflection.
Yeah,
but if it landed someone half confident,
yeah,
that would have been
dangerous,
and we'd be saying that was a fucking terrible mistake. So. I mean, I don't know how old this guy is. Like, is he a veteran or is he a kid? Yeah,
he's a kid. I think he's like 23. We got him from Man U. Yeah.
Looks about 40, the cunt.
He's had a hard fate around.
can't argue with 3 clean sheets. You know what I mean? Like, Pato didn't get his pace back. I'll be going, well, yeah, because he's had 3 clean sheets. But...
he's 34.
I'd say I don't think he's as good with his feet as Pato is. Like when
he hasn't been troubled enough for us to be able to make like a real assessment.
He's a more of a traditional keeper.
Yeah. Well,
you know what I mean? He's a big presence. You know what I mean? Type style keeper. I don't think he's. I think Pato suits the back four better. If you know what I mean, when the ball's on the floor.
I agree with you.
So I think we're all in agreement. So Dean in the chat and Bong in the chat, both basing Pato's number one. I think, like I said, he hasn't been tested enough. But it's how long do we think Pato's injured for? And
I don't know. It's been like strangely quiet, hasn't it?
No one said.
Didn't even announce he was injured until popped up on the no one knew anything about it. It wasn't reported. There was no there's usually fucking whispers kicking around. Oh, Pato might be injured for the week. It was none of that. It was a fucking surprise to see his name on the team sheet. Listen, three clean sheets, that's how I started, that's how I'll finish it. 3 clean sheets to be commended. If he's there tomorrow, I'm not going to be upset about it. If Pat was there tomorrow, fair enough.
Yeah, he'll
definitely be the cup keeper going forward, though.
Without a doubt. But we got to remember, we lost to Preston in the cup, so again, obviously Preston, that 0-0 game, we've done better this time round than we did when we played them earlier in the season. So
I think that if you look at that Preston in the cup,
the squad,
the lineup, it was nowhere near the actual starting 11. He didn't give a fuck about that in the slightest.
Well, didn't Preston lose the next game? I think it was to Villa. It was a Premier League squad. I know that Spurs. Preston were out of the cup the very next game, so it was kind of.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. We're caught up on the games
It only took us an hour.
Watford are up to fourth now. They've got 25 points.
So we're still 5 points clear of fourth place. That's really fucking good. The question I have now is obviously more around the Coventry conversation. I know we've had little tidbits throughout it, but the highlights are obviously Robbins has been sacked. Labrie's got manager of the month. It's the last game before the international break. I want to go first to Andrew for predictions.
Well, I'm going to the game tomorrow, and it's the first game I've been to all season. Like, you know, so usually when I go into the games,
we lose 5-1. We lose 5-1.
Yeah, we fucking absolutely crumble for whatever reason. So I'm hoping that's not going to be the case tomorrow. On paper, it's a game we should win. Like Alan was saying, look, they're in a bit of a sticky situation at the minute, whereas we're an okay team. So I would like to think we can win, especially at home. I'm gonna say 2-1. I think they might score, but I think we might nip it.
Okay.
And I'd like to see Mundell on the clean on the score sheet again. And I'd like to see a clean sheet, but obviously that's not going to happen if it's 2-1. No, I'd like to see Mundell score. And who's going to get the other one? Let's go Mepham Big Edder from a corner. There you go.
A defensive scorer. I like the sound of that.
If Tony Ivins was around, I'd be asking for that. Mepham first goal scorer, Sunderland 2-1.
Where is Tony Ivins tonight?
Oh,
I really should start calling them Tonali Ivans, you know. You get two and one then.
Tonali Ivans, I do like that. That's good. I don't even have my phone to check the old Paddy Power wire on, but that'll be me flutter if I was going to go for a...
Well, that is normally Dave's job, like, isn't it? So, like,
MIA.
We are starting to get a couple of predictions in the chat as well. Bong is going for a 1-0 to the lads. Dale is saying phone Ivan to get the odds, and Dean is going for 2-0.
He's probably been arrested.
I know, he might have been found out. He's getting stoned in the I don't mean the Saudi. Good stone, I mean like someone's hoying stones at him in Saudi.
Muller's done a little bit of stat checking as well. The ref for tomorrow is Lee Doughty, who took charge of the Millwall versus Leeds game a couple of weeks ago, and he hasn't ref for us since our home game since Bristol in April. I think we drew that one. Was that the 2-2? April. It's April. To be fair, it was a Beale ball, so it doesn't really matter, does it?
Just trying to fucking expunge that from our memory.
Yeah, that was all forgettable, that, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. So, Dale's gone 3-2 to us. Alan, what are you going for?
3-2, high scorer, lad.
I like the idea.
I'm going to go on... Oh, I mean, like I said, last time Coventry played us at Roma, it was a fucking terrible experience. I just want
to... It's a really tough game to call.
Is Sims fit? I don't think Sims played the last game.
Does Sims still play for them?
Yeah, he does. I think I'd be worried if Sims was playing. He's injured though. But what I'm going to say is I'm going to go 2-0 Wilson Brace. I feel like they're in a difficult position at the minute and we need to capitalise on that. And we've got a better manager than we did last season. So, I'm confident we can beat them. But they are a bogey team and I fucking can't stand them. So, but 2-0 Wilson.
He's getting a brace, did you say?
Brace, yeah.
Yeah, class. Mullet is going for a 3-0 win to us. Ooh. And I'm in two minds because obviously it's Stadium Alight. We are really good at the Stadium Alight. They're with our manager. But they've now got nothing to lose.
This is why I think it's a tough game to call. Like, there's a lot of there's a lot of storylines around it. Do you know what I mean? Like, and this, these things. The
thing is with Coventry, they are level with the team that's in the relegation zone. So Coventry are on minus one goal difference. There's like seven other teams on 15 points. So Coventry, Hull, Luton, Preston, Cardiff, and Plymouth are all on 15 points. And any of those teams could be in the bottom three after their games. But
their last three games, like, I know they got beat off Derby, but I'm sure they had like two wins running at that Derby game. You know what I mean? It wasn't like they were in bad form. Do you know what I mean? It looked like he turned the corner a little bit. So the sacking was a surprise. You know, we need to capitalise on that while they've got no one behind the helm. Yeah, probably be his backroom staff who would take an hour. But yeah.
Again, what are they doing? What are they playing for? So
it'll go one of two ways, won't it? Either the fucking players will be absolutely raging that the gaffer's been sacked and they'll be fucking down in tools, like, didn't give a fuck. Or they'll be like, hallelujah, like, the shackles are off, let's go. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if they're down tools. I just think that it's the leadership and the setup, you know what I mean? They've got to run a fucking... I think they're playing us, and then they're playing Sheffield, and I think they're playing Burnley.
Yeah, they've got to run Middlesbrough 3-0, you know, as well in those two games. Thank you, Dean, for pulling that up.
Yeah.
So they're not a piss poor opposition, like we...
No, they've got good players, you know what I mean? So we've just got to hope that LeBrie outthinks whoever's fucking taking charge of Coventry. And I'd like to think that one we can do that.
So my thinking is they're most likely to do, let's just play again. Like, whatever they played like last game when they won, that's how they're going to set themselves up, because it's the easiest thing to do for the step-in caretakers. They don't want to shake the boat too much, which means LeBrie will know what that's like. So I'm thinking LeBrie's done his work, done his research more than Coventry have. And... Yeah. I'm gonna say I'm gonna match Muller here with a 3-0 home win. I think
if
it's not confidence, it's confidence, but it's also a little bit more like what's most likely to happen. And I think if we play too respectful to their situation, it's gonna be another 0-0. I don't think they're scoring against us. No. So I think as long as we take advantage of their uncertainty, we win that.
Like, I think because we're at home, because he's going to want to put on a show, because he's got a point to prove after the 2-0, because we've got some players back that can go in, I can put them in the right position. Like, and we need to see Wilson through the middle. Connolly, mate, you're on the bench tomorrow. Like, you've got to play Wilson up top. He looks great up there for me. I don't think he'll stand off in the same way as we've seen maybe the last two games. I think he'll want to sort of put our stamp on the game, impact the game early on. I think an early goal would be fantastic.
Yeah. Dale saying, yeah, we need to start hard and fast.
Yeah, I agree.
You might see Alisic tomorrow. You know what I mean? You might see him tomorrow in the second half, because he's going to start with Brown, Neil and Rigg.
The one thing I think we need to do is have a surprise element in there. So the surprise element would be, for me, have the normal lineup apart from Roberts. Take Roberts off, put Watson on again, reward his performance, because it creates more confidence. I think it's a dark horse.
No chance.
I don't agree.
Definitely not starting tomorrow.
He rested Roberts midweek just so he could start in this game.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, and Watson, I like him. Like, I like that. I think he's okay.
That's not the game for him tomorrow. Definitely fucking not.
Well, whatever the surprise package that LeBrie has in, I think there does need to be one.
It might be Alexis in the middle. You know what I mean? He might come on at some point. Watson might come on at some point later on, but the starters will be fucking like hard. You know what I said. Be the mainstay players.
I'm confident in that. I think we're not going to concede against this Coventry side, and maybe they'll park the bus, maybe they won't. But it's how LeBrie
again,
does his research. I think we've also, in terms of the energy, because I know we've slowed down in the last two games against QPR and Preston, this is the game before the international break, right? So why not just spend all your energy in this next game and recover for 2 weeks? It's going to create a buffer at the top of the table again, and they'll go into that break with a little bit more confidence. There's so much to say. Just go for it.
Very, very, very important 3 points. If we could get 3 points tomorrow, it would be extremely, extremely good.
So I will also add onto that, if we do get 3 points, we could potentially be safe in the championship by Christmas with the 50-point golden rule.
Yes. Yeah.
we were having this conversation. Like, do you remember this time last season? We were saying, right, when could we
mathematically be safe?
Yeah. we weren't mathematically safe till right at the end after the fucking drop off.
Oh no, we finished 16th, didn't we? Fucking wild. We've had Jacob join us very, very late, so I'm going to ask you two very quick questions, Jacob. Welcome along.
Yeah. I was just watching Lee and Paul, so I was taking care of the video.
No worries. So we need to have a fun fact from you and your prediction for the Coventry game.
All right. Well, fun fact. I told you about it, but I don't think I've told everyone else on the stream. So, like how Sunderland have wise men say, and Liverpool have you never walk alone. Stoke City, yeah.
Yeah.
Have why Delilah won.
Why?
Yeah.
But the reason why I found out it was 1987, Stoke fans were playing Derby County away. The fans were in a pub somewhere in Derby pre-match and they were singing, you know. And then the police told them stop singing quote-unquote sweary songs. So I think the rest of the Stoke fans just started singing Why Delilah Why. And it's just carried on from then.
It's a tune, to be fair, like.
All right. Your prediction, mate. That's a good fun fact.
Why are you on the podcast, Jake?
Sorry?
What's going on here? Would you run another podcast, were you?
No, I was just moderating Paul and Lee's video because they were live and I was just in the chat being the moderator. That's why I was late. Oh, okay. What was it?
You
yeah,
mean,
2-2.
You mean someone's more important than us?
No.
Well, it's fucking sounds that way.
We'll have to get you on a retainer. How much do you want to pay in?
He gets paid in what, being able to watch the game for free.
All right, fair enough.
In the words of Mourinho, respect. No, 2-2 against Coventry. I think it might be a draw because they're a bit of a funny team with us. We never seem to do well, but
I don't want another draw.
I think we might have turned the corner on Coventry. You know, like, you know how we had that little bit of reputation with Portsmouth for a while. I think that we're on the other side of it.
I don't think it's been as bad with Portsmouth. I think
I don't know, man. We've had 15 years of them always just somehow beating us,
mate. That was the worst thing. They beat us in all the big games as well. So like the fucking playoffs and the cup and that. Like,
yeah, but we beat him in the playoffs. We beat him at home.
We beat him in the playoffs.
Yeah, semi-finals.
And then we went and played Wigan.
Right, so...
Coventry are just dirty, a dirty team, and they always end up getting them.
Physical.
You know what I mean? I just want us to beat them convincingly. Just put it to bed. You know what I mean? And there's no better time to strike them now. I'll take 1-0.
Right.
Convincingly, that's like that. That's the nice to have, isn't it?
Right. I have a question for you from Bong, and it's for you, Andrew. So I'm going to say Sharks in the chat. Are you doing Loan Shark, Andrew?
I'm not doing Loan Shark this week. But I'll give you a quick update because I did have a look.
Ecuador, see, that means you are doing it.
Well, I haven't done the deep dive like I usually do, right? Sharks in the chat, though. I had a quick look.
Ekwa's coming back.
Ekwa's meant he scored a double hat-trick last weekend. The win, 6-0.
Yeah, and we've had approval from Davey to say he wants him back. on the WhatsApp, haven't we?
That's right.
He said absolutely. He said absolutely.
Officially, David's on board the Equa train now.
We're redacting the word not.
I'll do a proper loan shark next week. I'll dive in properly and see how they're all getting on. But
yeah, okay.
Equa's the most important one, isn't he? And he's doing fantastic.
Triantis?
Triantis at Hibs?
Hibs?
Yeah, be fine.
He's been fine.
Yeah, yeah. They're all doing just great. Don't worry about them.
Jewison Bennett?
I didn't even know where he is.
He's in the Greek leagues, isn't he?
Is he still there?
He's doing great. He's doing good too. Like he's been eating all the gyros. He's having a great time.
Gyros.
Kiros, and what's the other one? Souvlaki.
I've never had Souvlaki.
Oh, grab one, mate.
There's a
quality.
Place in the stack down in Seaburn.
Tzatziki, in it? I tell you.
That's the sauce one, tzatziki.
Tzatziki's like a hummus kind of thing, isn't it?
No, it's
not as thick as hummus.
It's like
a meal.
Not like it is, but like it's thinner than meal, isn't it? It's like a yogurt, isn't it? That's what it is, like a yogurt thing. Good Greek food in the stack, like that. I can't remember what it's called, but downstairs on the right hand side as you're going in.
The stack. I've never been.
There's also you've never been to Stack and Seaburn. When you're back, lad, I'll take you.
To be fair, I've only been up 4 times since it's been built.
Right. Well, that's 4 opportunities. All right, to be fair. Stack. It is all right, yeah.
All right, yeah.
Good food options. Sponsor the podcast, the stack. Food options are good. B is all right. I mean,
it's between the stack or Jackie White's, right? So,
no, I'd rather have Jackie White. I want a Jackie White's 100-year commemorative T-shirt.
I'd love a Jackie White's T-shirt. Like,
I mean, we had one and we got relegated, didn't it, mate? What are you talking about?
Here's another good fun fact. When I was looking at Jackie White's earlier, you know, Jackie White wasn't actually called Jackie White. He was called James White, but like. Because he was a bit of a wheeler dealer, they used to call him Jetty White.
How do you know that? It was 100 years ago, mate. How do you know this?
Googled it. When you said, don't forget your fun fact, I was like, fuck, what am I going to do here? Like, I better have a quick look on Google. What can I find out about? And the first thing I thought was Jetty White's market, yeah? So I Googled Jetty White and started reading. Now you know that Jackie White was actually called James White, and next year is the 100-year anniversary of Jackie White's market.
It's not a fun fact, and it's not a. I think it's gone past the statutes of limitations now. But I still have the video of the keg being thrown around by Granger Games.
Yeah.
2013, that was.
Oh, God, 11 years ago. I'll have had a full head of hair.
I was only 9 years old in 2013. Shit, you know.
So Fendog found a keg just lying in the middle of the street down by Passion. So it started up for Passion.
No, I was round the corner from there. Yeah, that's it. We rolled it all the way down the fucking round the corner from Indy.
And it ended up at Milligan's.
It was one of those things, you know, when you come out Passion, absolutely mortal, you think, I'm taking this fucking keg home with us, like, and it made it about 200 yards down the road, and we're like, fuck that.
I'm just thinking about a fancy baker's oven now, you mentioned it.
There you go. Is Milligan's still a thing in Sunderland or not?
I think there is a Milligan's somewhere.
It is still there, yeah.
Yeah. What was it? Also, I guess it's not a fun fact, but do you know the video of the Chavs proposing? That's outside of Milligan's.
I don't know the video you're talking about.
There's like a 20-second clip of this guy. It's like on, will you marry us, like? And she goes, it's proper, like, proper chavvy. And then 2 weeks later, she got too much juice.
Go on, if Stace proposed to me outside of Milligan's, I'd have probably said gnarly.
Exactly.
I proposed to our lass outside the public works at Edenvale.
Oh, yeah? You never told us that story, Al? What happened?
He got on his knees and said, "Will you marry me?" And she said, "Yes."
I was in the car and I picked it up. I had a ring and we were driving past the public works at Eanville. And I stopped and went, "Will you marry me?" And she went, "Yeah." I was like, "Oh, cheers." And that was it.
How romantic.
But, oh, it was very romantic.
Did you propose to me?
Yeah, Christmas Day.
Christmas Day. Did Paul cry his eyes out?
We both had it prepared on Christmas Day, so yeah, it was pretty cool.
Mate, that's sweet. That is proper sweet.
Hidden away in the bookshelf.
The bookshelf, aye.
Yeah.
Euphemism.
No. All good. Right.
I was going to say, can't people get married at stadiums or something like that?
You can do the reception at the stadium, can't you?
You can do the whole thing at the stadium. You can do the whole thing at the stadium.
Didn't we have my granddad's wake at the stadium?
My dad's wake was at the stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, what?
2018.
It's like that with every stadium, isn't it? Pretty much every stadium in England. Or
I don't know why it was there, because he never went to the match.
He was like, fucking Saturday, all these cunts parked outside my house.
I used to park my car outside his house. Drive. And then there was the old, because he lived in the no parking zone.
Road, right, yeah.
And it was always like, who's got the pass?
You were allowed one car on the drive. It got so popular, I ended up parking on Crouchy's drive, mate. The big mate had to move his car around. Everyone wanted to be on my grand drive or nick the
But which is weird, because all you have to do is go over to the fucking Fulwell Road.
I know.
But, you know, I mean, mate.
It's a short walk from Fulwell Road.
You know, I with the Green Bridge.
Yeah.
Like, and you just walk through Tizzix. So I don't know what, like, all this people around, you know, and we still see people getting fined when we walk in the match. Again, are you fucking stupid? All you have to do is park like one road over and you don't get fined.
But maybe it's just people not living in like the very local area and driving towards the same.
I was brought up around there, so no, but it's the brains of an archbishop to fucking drive down Fulwell Road and just pull into one of the streets.
Mate, the stupidity of the masses is not unfathomable. Like, just literally in town in Melbourne here, right, you can walk for literally 40 seconds to go from a $5 ticket to a free zone. Literally 100 yards. Like, people will still stand up there, I want to get charged for it. Yeah. It's stupid.
Can't be asked, man.
So, yeah, if it's the easiest option in terms of less movement, they'll choose that. Every time.
I mean, how much is a ticket now? 70 quid or 80 quid?
Probably 80 quid, isn't it? I'm pretty sure it's 80 quid, but like, if 80 quid, but if you pay it within like a couple of weeks, it's only 50 or something like that. I think that's...
Like, when we come out of the match as well...
My mum got done, didn't she? My mum parked outside my nana's house and she got fucking slapped with a ticket. She was raging.
Did she not have the badge on? The old...
Nah, she didn't have the badge on. Nah. It was. I think it was the first season they brought it in.
Right.
She didn't have the badge on. She got
Did you ring
the council? She rang the council. Like, parked at me bar's house. She's infirm. Like, nah, you still got to pay the fucking fine.
There's big signs here. There's big signs here saying you need a pass. Devonshire Tower, like, because obviously we park in like just off of the road, and I walk through Tizzix. I will pass, you know, the back street and through past Devonshire Tower. And there's always someone there with a ticket on. I'm like, are you fucking for real?
Yellow ticket slapped under the wipers.
Yeah.
It is funny, right? I want to move away from this.
We're going on a tangent, lads.
It's a proper divergent, and it's normally what we chat about off stream.
This is why people tune in, mate. They don't care about the football analysis. They just want to know where Alan Parker
is. I'll tell you.
You want some parking advice on match day? Come to the back of
the Green Bridge.
Didn't it park on fucking Netherburn Road? Just park our Roker Road. Free.
Just get into a parking
ride. I know with people, like, you know, get the all the running. I was fucking busier than normally. I was in the fucking settlement. Can't get parked.
You're blaming yourself. Right, I want to quickly ask. So obviously,
is this it, mate? Are we wrapping up? Or
no, no, we've got one more question. One more question football. So, we are guaranteed to be top two before the international break. But is there any other games in the championship or teams in the championship that you're looking at going, what are they doing?
What Sheffield United?
Oh, so the Sheffield game is the Sheffield derby. United versus Wednesday. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. On Sunday.
I just think Sheffield United are a good team, mate. I think they've got a good manager. I think they're dangerous. Leeds are the best team I've seen play so far, but I think Sheffield United is going to be a test.
Leeds are at home to QPR. Test. And United are playing Wednesday.
Yeah, I think they'll both win. I think Wednesday and not Wednesday. I think United and Leeds will both win.
Yeah.
We've just got to concentrate on ourselves. We've got to turn up tomorrow. And we've got to put on a performance and put. There's no hoodoo, but we've just got to bury these fuckers while they're in the mire a little bit.
Oh, and naturally, by the way, Mueller says we haven't beaten Coventry since 2007.
Great.
Fucking hell.
It's nearly 20 years.
Nigh on 20 years.
Jacob, do you remember when you were three years old?
They're a bigger hoodoo than Portsmouth. They are.
Massive banana
peel. They are bigger bogey team.
Well, yeah. Let's see. If you're asking me what game I'm interested in, I mean, we all know Jake's watching the fucking Stoke Millwall game. Like, he'll have that.
No.
You love Stoke, mate. You love it.
No, I only hated Stoke when Alex Neil were there. I don't have an issue with him now. We're only when Alex Neil were there because of what he did.
You don't have to try and hide it anymore, lad. It's fine. We're all friends here. The game that I'm interested in, to be honest, I didn't really have a look at the fixtures, but I'm just scrolling through there. I mean, Borough playing Luton, so I'll probably keep half an eye on that. But I think West Brom away to Hull, feel like West Brom might slip up, you know.
Have you seen West Brom's last five results?
No. Draw. There you go.
They've drew five games in a row.
Well, there you go. So they could slip up again against Hull.
They've drew six games in a row, actually.
Right, there you go. Away to Hull, they're going to get more by the Tigers, aren't they?
Get more by the Tigers.
So, yeah, I'll be keeping an eye on that as well.
Yeah.
Good question, Smithy. It's not something I usually consider, but... yeah, there you go.
Well, Dale's got Blue Badge parking, by the way, Alan, so he doesn't have to worry about it.
You're just abandoning your car in the middle of the road.
Oh, yeah, right.
Sorry,
Bong's saying Sheffield United, and Dean's asked the funniest question, probably is off the back of that, and I think it might piss off Jacob more than anybody else. Alex Neil at Coventry?
That's a fair shout, to be fair. Could happen.
Not like I thought Alex might go to a club in League One that's in the top half, like a Bolton or something like that. Alex Neil do another promotion, but if he goes to Cov, it wouldn't be a bad shout, would it?
He'd get them out of bother.
I think that's a step back from Robbins, though. I think Robbins was a decent manager.
He was going through a bit of a bad time. Yeah, he got Coventry from League Two to the Championship, did Mark Robbins.
Yeah,
so would you say they are a prep? The Prem or Coventry? Do you think they are a team where you go, they
in
belong
the 90s,
in Prem?
Maybe.
Cold,
in the 90s, maybe, but not now.
When I was first watching football, they were in the Premier League, but
do you think they're more
Is this a fun fact or just stupid? My first ever Panini sticker packet of the Premier League thing when I was 6 years old was a shiny Coventry badge.
Mate, I swear to God, I remember getting the shiny Coventry badge as well. And I had Portsmouth as well in the Panini sticker.
All I wanted was Quinn and Phillips. I didn't care about the rest.
you got fucking Coventry badge.
Got a Coventry badge.
So you never got a shiny Sunderland badge? Did you never get a shiny Sunderland badge?
Yeah. Custom, mate, completely.
I don't remember getting a fucking Sunderland badge. Like, I remember getting Liam Lawrence.
Liam Lawrence.
Oh, that's funny.
Do you remember the Sean Thornton rap?
No.
You're gonna have to send
the Sean rap.
Mate, you're gonna have to do. That's the next week's podcast. Recite it. Recite it as your fun fact.
Learn it for next week. Nah, you have to send us a link, Al.
Sorry, I've got a, Jacob didn't answer the question. Is any of the games that you're looking at next week or this weekend? Sorry, and thinking, oh, need to keep an eye on that one. Joking aside.
So we said Sheffield United and Leeds. We've said not.
No, we haven't said Leeds. Nobody said Leeds.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I said Leeds.
Oh, Leeds. Hey, no. Yes, you did say Leeds.
Do you not think maybe other teams in top six, like West Brom and Watford, maybe keep an eye on them?
Watford just won, Nate.
So. Yeah, that's West Brom. I think we need to keep an eye on still.
That's what I was saying. I think West Brom could maybe step up against Hull. Like
Hull, West Brom. Yeah. Okay.
Here's one opinion before we go.
Before we go, yeah. Okay.
I just think if we don't go up either first or second, I think that, you know, I don't think we're going to win the playoffs. I just got a feeling.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of strong teams.
Yeah, I just think, I don't know what it is, but I just think we need to just keep going and get over the line one and two, because the playoffs, it's never been really good to us, you know what I mean? Charlton twice, you know what I mean? I think who else was it in the football playoff you'll beat off? You know, I don't know what
Swindon,
it is.
Didn't we? Lost to Swindon in the playoff.
I don't know what it is in the playoffs, but I just don't like when I don't.
You just don't like our chances. The playoffs
become like who can handle the pressure the most. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
And it's definitely not us.
Yeah.
We can't.
Historically, it has not been us. But just to, you know, rewind back to my point from about half an hour ago, and I said, I think this team has a bit more mental fortitude than we've seen recently. I would say even above that of the team when we got promoted out of League One.
I feel like with the Wickham playoff, I feel like a lot of us were confident going into Wickham, weren't we? We were like, I don't know, but I just...
So,
it's because of
Wickham, by the way, in that game were fucking crap. Like,
I was
they
fucking...
crumbled big time.
I was
yeah, well, about who football, because Alan doesn't like who football. Wickham were well known for that, weren't they? So they couldn't do that on the Wembley pitch. Wickham.
Yeah, they were.
That's one of the reasons why we won, because they wouldn't have coped hoofing the ball at Wembley, Wickham. And they were quite bully boy tactics as well, because VAR was in that game, but it never got used. Yeah. But it was still, you know, in place.
Yeah, it's still there.
I was fucking pissed that game.
Which game are you not pissed in, mate?
Well, the majority of that one, I don't know what it was. I just got on it, big style.
It was a good day. Yeah, there we go.
So,
speaking of that game, we should have had a penalty at one point. Ross Stewart got fouled in box. Should have had a penalty at one point.
You went very Yorkshire there, Jacob. Very Yorkshire. Got fouled in box.
Fouled in box, lad.
That's quality. I've got a question about tomorrow's game, and then we'll wrap it up. So,
okay.
Do you know how we did the fanfare when it was a night game around in the midweek with all of the lights and it was like foghorns and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Are we doing anything like that for Remembrance? Because if we are, it won't be a fanfare.
They'll have something on it. They'll have the last post and the 2 minute silence, and they'll probably have some military personnel there.
They've got
the TIFO definitely sorted out already. I've seen it on a couple of Twitter pages.
Yeah,
I'll
get there a little earlier than usual. I'll have to head over early.
Yeah, yeah. Well, GX picked me up at 1300. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So.
Right.
We'll meet you.
Should I drive to yours?
Well, I'll take. Would you want to lift in?
Yeah, I mean, if you're offering.
I'm going to. Well, yeah. Jake's picking me up at 1 o'clock.
You cut this bit off the end of the party, Smithy, when you upload it.
No. I want to know your logistics of getting to the game. and where you're parking.
Oh, would you? It's a transition.
All right, fair enough. Well, yeah, I'll meet my way to yours. I'll just after lunch. I'll be there before one.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Awesome. Cool. Rightio. Right. So that's it. Right. Bye bye. Good night. See you on the next one. Bye.